Okay, they're both recording.
All right, hit it. Welcome to As You Wish, broadcasted live deep within the earth from a little wilderness town called Trout Lake, Washington, where the women are strong, the men are good-looking, and the children, well, most of them have been abducted. UFO and Paranormal Central, a cryptozoologist's dream. Thanks for joining us. We thought we'd open up that little intro there because in honor of Frank, who's here right now at the ranch watching UFOs along with quite a large group out in the field here. So it's been crazy. We've had incredible UFO activity. We just finished our conference and it was amazing. The group energy here, we had everybody in the conference building doing intention experiments and doing meditations and oming, and we sent some energy up. The whole place was filled with just so much love and joy and bliss, and the ships came in and did their thing and let people see them. It was just an amazing event. We're still, it's almost like we're in the fifth dimension right now after this experience, and we're really having a hard time relating to the third. So if we haven't gotten back to you, and we are trying to catch up on emails and other business, we will shortly. We're getting caught up right now, and I'm definitely like a couple days behind on my email, and I've caught most of it up today, so as well as the other staff here at the ranch. But anyway, it was quite a journey. The staff did a wonderful job on putting this together, and kudos to Nate and Jana and all the rest of the staff for really being under the gun with these energies. There's a lot of interference when you do this kind of work, and everybody kind of helps together here. So that's great. But there's a lot of things going on right now. I wanted to give you a little update. We are just getting slammed with one gamma ray burst after another. And remember, that's gamma ray is the seventh level. It's the seventh level consciousness slamming the planet. So along with the solar flares and all the other things going on in the streams, and it's getting a little crazy right here, and people can feel it. You know, it's a lot of agitation energy, a lot of energy coming in that's of a much higher frequency. We're moving into a highly energized place in space. So the planet is just buzzing and humming and ripe, and it's going to give birth here real soon, and it's going to be quite a process, so to the next level. So it's going to get interesting, so hang on and you know, remember, become the observer, monitor your attitudes and emotions. You know, don't go into the projection and blame mode, and don't get into the victim mode either. We've got to make our own personal God, creator, spirit connection to get through this change. And, you know, one of the masters, we had some eighth dimensional beings come in just recently, which were amazing. And, you know, they made it very simple. They said, are you creating heaven on earth? You know? And they said it's time to align yourself with those who are truly creating heaven on earth and separate yourself from those who are not, because that is the great shift happening. And it's all a matter of really choosing, you know, where you're going, you know, in this shift. But anyway, that being said, we've got a great guest coming up here on the show. We've got Lynn Williams, and as a starseed and indigo light worker, Lynn's primary reason to be on the planet is to be of service to others during the great shift, which we are well in right now. And for the last 3.5 years, she's focused the majority of her time within spiritual realm as a living pillar to help anchor cosmic energies into Gaia, as a spiritual counselor who assists and educates others on their awakening path, as a healer who transmutes, alternative consciousness energies within her surroundings and teaching others to do the same themselves, and as a gifted researcher who gathers extensive information regarding most aspects of spirituality and the awakening process to share with those interested. She has strong ties to Lemuria and the Arcturians, which have come in recently quite a bit, and through regression sessions, she has become aware of her past lives as a shaman, wisdom keeper, and prophet. And she's worked most of her adult life in corporate America as a senior level executive recruiter, She lived what most would call the normal life until 1999, when she was guided through synchronicity to leave her 20-year marriage and move to the East Coast, or from the East Coast, where she had lived most of her life and where all of her family resided, to Los Angeles. It was truly a deeper calling, and she felt compelled to move, but was not sure why. However, it wasn't until January of 2010 that her awakening became in earnest, as literally a jolt in the head at the Agape Spiritual Center. You know, this is a really long bio, so I'm going to just cut it short and welcome Lynn on the show, because there's so much to Lynn. I'd rather get the information straight from her. So, Lynn, are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me, James?
I can. Welcome to the show.
Oh, James, thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
I know in your emails, I guess you've had quite a few experiences after we connected and I invited you on the show.
Well, you know, it's funny. You talked about a lot of the activity out there. There's not only the love and light activity, as you know, but there's also what I like to call affectionately the alternative consciousness. I've kind of moved away from the terminology of the dark, because all of the energies, as you know, are helping us become balanced and integrated into who we're meant to be as we move up into the higher dimensions. And so I've just seen a lot of interference. And to me, that always becomes a tribute to how brightly we're shining our lights. So even tonight and the last time you and I spoke, James, as you know, a lot of interference came into setting everything up. And I just sort of giggle at all of that and say, oh, I must be doing something right.
Yeah, that old saying, you know, if you're not getting flak unless you're over the target, you know, and the pioneers take the most arrows. But anyway, it's been getting interesting. I know my phone's been ringing off the hook with people, you know, just light, you know, beautiful people I know that are light workers just getting hammered right now by a lot of these unseen negative influences that are working through friends and family and through their work and their everyday life. And they're just saying, what is going on? Why are people just coming unglued and coming after me?
Well, and it's interesting because last Friday I had a major Kundalini rise. And, you know, I don't believe we can be on the path without having Kundalini working within us. But this was the one time, you know, 3.5 years into my journey where I literally felt it at my base chakra come all the way up my spine, up through my third eye, up through my crown. My crown opened so wide and I was filled with such amazing bliss. But at the same time, I felt all the chi be drained out of me. And I felt as though in that moment, there was something waiting there for that crown to open and all of that beautiful energy. And for this past week, I've literally been trying to get my chi back. So, you know, I've learned that I've had to sort of be a little more careful about how open I am at this point in time. Really interesting.
Yeah, we've had a lot of that going on. There's a lot of people call it the Archon Network, which are some degenerate serpent beings and reptilian beings and some tall grays and beings of that nature, and just basically astral beings that are really messed up that didn't make it into the light, and people are being challenged to the inch of their core, you know, right now because of this. And it, you know, it's a good thing in a way, because these beings are being sandwiched. It's like the inner earth and the earth herself is kicking on and she's ascending and going to the next level. And the higher beings are pushing down on it through the higher dimensions. And these entities are being sandwiched in the middle and they're getting very agitated and they're just trying to create as much chaos as possible. And they're really targeting the light workers right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But again, I always look at it as a gift. Because if one can stay out of the fear of it and realize that, wow, I must be doing something right. If I'm getting this much attention, why me versus, say, someone else? Because I know a lot of light workers out there, you know, we all have different jobs, who don't seem to have to wrestle with this element as much. And then there are those of us, and I would consider myself one, who are more the integrators. So we're bringing balance to those Archon energies and the lighter energies, and we're sort of living transmuters of that. And so we are a little more challenged, but again, I always look at it as a compliment. I must be doing something right.
Yeah, you can actually use this energy to show you any of your hooks, you know, any of your unresolved issues or patterns or blocks, or, you know, they'll take you to your deepest core issues, you know, whatever they are. And that's what I see it as, even in relationships or anything, you know, when things don't work out according to our program of how we think they would should work out. You know, what's that old saying? You know, you don't always get what you want, but you get what you need.
Well, I've been doing a lot of deep work on that level. Absolutely, James, you're so right. And, you know, to bring all of the darkest, deepest parts of ourselves, our shadow sides, up now, you know, we're being squeezed as well. Everything is being squeezed, right? We're a micro of the macro. So, yeah, I think I'm watching a lot of my friends at different levels of consciousness. Some are completely asleep to the process. Others are starting to wake up, and everybody is going through challenges in every level of their lives.
Yeah, it definitely seems like people are, you know, everything, every relationship is changing. You know, your relationship with lovers, with family, with friends, with your job, you know, everything seems to be going through this major transition. And, you know, people are going out of people's lives, and people are coming into people's lives. And we just have to flow with this, with loving detachment, and allow this transition to happen.
Absolutely.
I'm curious about your experience. Now, we're having some things happen here that are we're just having phenomenal UFO activity here and getting well documented. We've got John Kelly out in the field who's doing an amazing job of documenting these ships. And we just showed a film here to the group here. It was just amazing, the first time I've seen it, of all the ship activity here. And then on top of that, we're having beings that we've never seen before. A lot of activity with these 7D lion beings and the Arcturians and the and some eighth dimensional beings that are coming in they seem to be coming through the void. You know, they're beyond the seventh dimension, which is, you know, I am God. They're fully God realized beings. They went through the void and they're coming back through the void. So it's getting very interesting here to say the least.
Well, I've been doing ceremonies here in Los Angeles. I'm a pillar, and so I anchor the light here. You know, when I about a year and a half ago, I was asked at the Crystal Skull Conference by the Mayan Hunbutsmen to come down to Chichen Itza and participate in ceremony there during the 1221. And I really felt called to be here in Los Angeles. And, you know, so we're spread out all over the world. I'm not a traveling grid worker like many people are. I feel like I've always been called to be here. And so I just go out to my balcony, which is off my bedroom, and either under, you know, the full solstices or the moons, I just do ceremony to anchor love and light in. And I have pictures on my Facebook page of this last ceremony under the supermoon. You would not have believed the amount of lying beings and other beings that came through in the photographs. Of course, there are tons of orbs, but there are just faces everywhere, and they look like lion beings to me. And I invited them in, actually due to you, James, because I had listened to an interview that you had done a while back where you talked about the loving energy of the lion beings. And so I started inviting them into my life, and they came instantly. And, I mean, it's just, as you say, this most blissful feeling. So when I'm out doing my ceremony to anchor these lights, I always call in the lion beings because they bring such warm, loving energy. And they showed up everywhere in the picture. It was amazing.
That's great. Yeah, they're the benevolent protectors. In ancient times, they were protectors of the gods. And now we're waking up to realizing that, you know, that the Creator's omnipresent in everything, and we're all gods, and there's no separation and omnipresence. So why not, you know? Why not welcome them in? Because there's a lot of gods down here that are awakening and need all the protection they can get.
Absolutely. And I feel that they all help me with ceremony. When I feel as though I know I have roots back to Lemuria, but I also have some Native American roots in one of my lives. And so I always call in the four directions, and then I call in the elementals, and I have a very strong relationship with the sylphs in particular. I can call them in at will, and I've watched them eat chemtrails over my home. So I have this beautiful vortex of clear blue sky over my home most days, even when they've been chemtrailing. But I started calling in the lion beings and then just any of the benevolent ETs to join me in these ceremonies. And it becomes a big party in these pictures. You can see it.
Oh, yeah. We just had Itasha here, and she's an elder, a beautiful woman, very gifted. And she's an Arcturian contactee as well. And she totally validated everything. And you know, I sat with her and we talked for for a while, and she was seeing, well, it's a long story. It's kind of like tooting my own horn. I'm not going to go there, but she was seeing the lion beings and all the other things happening here, and they're having the same experiences as well. And I know some other elders that actually came and connected into these beings. So it's all part of the big picture, you know, the Arcturians, these lion beings, the Andromedans, you know, all of these, I call them the big hitters, you know, out there, are coming in now to assist in this great birthing process.
Absolutely. It's wonderful.
Yeah, they said the only missing element is us, you know.
In what way?
Well, you know, we need to initiate this. You know, I know you're doing your work, but it needs to be done on a grand scale, and we need to rise to the occasion. All these beings are coming in to help us, but they can't trespass on free will. And so we have to initiate the experience and align ourselves with it and step out of our baser emotions and release the past, you know, the old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences, and which is rough. I mean, some people have been so traumatized on this planet and they don't have any reference points whatsoever, you know, to universal law or, you know, their definitions of love and joy and bliss and loyalty and honesty, integrity, all those things are totally different because they've had no foundation. And so it's quite interesting. I'm seeing as all these energies come in, the people that are very, let's say they're aligned with social consciousness or they've been really wounded, just have a lot of abuse patterns or victim patterns or whatever, are not doing too well with these energies.
Well, I think going back to what you said earlier, they're getting squeezed.
Yeah.
Everything is getting squeezed. So any of that shadow part of themselves that's deep within them is going to be squeezed up to the light to show itself. They may be unprepared for that because they haven't been doing any work. You know, someone like you and I would welcome that as, oh, great, another gift. We get to peel back another layer of the onion. But for a lot of people that aren't awake to this process, all they know is they're starting to feel really uncomfortable emotionally. They may be manifesting a lot of dis-ease in their body. It manifests in anger. All you have to do is look at the headlines. Now, part of that, as we know, is manipulated so that we only see the negative. But still, you know, people are kind of going crazy.
Oh, definitely. I've seen, too, it's like it is the outward manifestation of that is, you know, a lot of accidents, a lot of anger, a lot of, when you project and blame, you know, all this stuff is going to the exterior. And a lot of people are not taking the interior approach because they've been so programmed throughout the matrix that everything is exterior. You know, to have love or joy or bliss, you know, you have to have the right car, you know, you have to have the fancy job, the fancy car, the fancy, you know, the big wallet, the big house, you know, all that stuff. Everything's exterior. And TV, you know, you should be very afraid. You know, you should be very scared. It's level 4, you know, orange alert, red alert next week on July 4th, you know. All these things, everything is programmed to keep people on an exterior program. And, you know, outer appearances, focused on outer appearances to get the love and acceptance and joy, all of that stuff. It's all exterior, and as long as that's going on, you know, it's a dead end. And I think that's what's happening is that world, that matrix is collapsing. And a lot of people don't really understand that the only way out is to go interior, you know, to go within and start owning your process and not to blame or project, but own whatever attitudes and emotions are coming up in you and learn to set boundaries when necessary and things of that nature. So they're on the crash course, you know, of the people that haven't done their homework and haven't already chosen a spiritual path or to do process-oriented therapy or things of that nature. You know, if they didn't come in from really high level and without a lot of trauma, you know, are really being, pressed to the mat, so to speak.
Well, and so when I have people come to me where they're in crisis like that, I always try to simplify, help them simplify their lives first, because until we can get quiet, how can we go within and how can we start peeling back those layers, right? So things like, you know, stop watching your television, try to be out in nature more, change your diet. I mean, we know that there are programs in the foods that are out there that are you know, keeping people sort of asleep and dumbed down. So I try to help them get still, clean out your body, try to get in a space where you can now start to really, you know, address some of these deeper issues that many of us have been working on for years. And the good news is that it seems like these energies are also having people wake up and get it so much faster, James. I mean, have you noticed that? It took me 3.5 years, and you know, I only woke up in 2010. But I'm watching, like, I call it the class. Every class that comes after me, they're getting it faster, and maybe because they have to.
Yeah, it's definitely, everything's kicked up now, and it's the veils are much thinner, and we're just getting bombarded with new energies coming into the planet. You know, cosmic rays, gamma rays, X-rays, infrared. All these rays are just totally slamming us right now. And we're going through a highly energized place and space at the same time. So there's, I always say resistance is futile, you know. You know, there's no choice anymore. We chose to come here and incarnate for this experience. And now we need to get on with it and get with the flow, because no man can stop this, no matter what your technology is, no matter what kind of toys you're playing with, you know, to shut this down. It can't be stopped.
Well, we have to trust this is also working with those that, like, again, I affectionately call the alternative consciousness. So as much as they may be anchored in a certain way of looking at the world, they can't resist this either, because love is going to trump all. So, you know, it's really going to be very interesting, because we're in that 9-month birthing period now. What happens when we come out of the birth canal in September? You know, what will our world look like? Or even this month, as you know, there's a very large Merkaba at the end of the month that's going to be the alignment of the planets. I'm sure Tom Kaipacha Lesher talked about that. And this month is the month of clear out your stuff as much as you can. Get in touch with those deeper parts of you that you need to heal and release, because we're just going to be squeezed through that birth canal. And you can't take this stuff with you.
Exactly. I know here we have a vortex and the energy is already kicked up. And so we kind of go through it first, it seems. And I always say, you know, hooking up with these eighth dimensional beings is a total Roto-Rooter, you know, program. You know, anything you're hanging on to is going to come up, you know, hot and fast for you to look at. So it's kind of interesting. But I know that a lot of us are holding energies both individually and collectively, and holding grid points, and you know, this is a stargate here that's holding the energy, but it's getting interesting, and I just see it's just, as I was saying before, it's unstoppable, and I've been getting the feeling lately, although I still continue to do our work, that no matter what now, we can just, like, sit back and watch it unfold and just work on our own process now. A lot of us, you know, really need to go within and take ourselves to the next level, so we can help others, you know, as they come into that same level.
Absolutely. And it, you know, it's funny, because I was one of those people that would work it from both sides. I was working on my internal process, but then I would be posting, for example, on Facebook, you know, what was happening in the geopolitical scene, knowing that those people that were first starting to wake up, so to speak, you know, that's where they wake up. They wake up noticing, oh my gosh, this world is not what I thought it was. And so I feel like that work still needs to be done, even though when I deal with just Lynn Williams, I'm really focused on what do I need to do to prepare myself personally. And I think the biggest message I try to bring people right now on the path is to own your own sovereignty in every aspect of your life. Every aspect. So, for example, I'm working with a friend right now who has enormous health issues. She's a light worker, but one of her wounds is in the area of not owning her sovereignty as regards her own vehicle, which is her body. And so when she can start to really wake up to, wait a minute, if my body is showing me pain, that is just a signal of something I need to work on within myself. And once that's released, the pain can go away because that's the only reason the pain is showing itself. So we have not been taught in this society, as you know, we've been taught to put all of our power outside of ourselves. Now we have to learn how to bring all of our power back into ourselves. How do we own everything that happens in our relationships? How do we own our health? How do we own every aspect of our ability to manifest and create? So that's what I try to help people with.
Great. Yeah, it is interesting because I know with, especially with the body, I've always talked about that. I've always felt that a lot of the yogis didn't get it right. And the people get upset at me for saying that because, you know, they keep saying this body is dust. This is all Maya, you know, forget about 3D. It's all illusion and everything else. And so their bodies do turn to dust and they die and they don't ascend. And the ones that did ascend, they brought their seventh dimensional self fully realized into every cell of their being. And they grounded it into the earth, which created a quickening. And then they started vibrating faster and faster. And then they ascended. So basically they mastered judgment and they mastered their emotions and they just focused on love and joy and bliss until they became it, you know, right down to every cell in their body, you know, thus they ascended.
Well, I'm going to share some information that some of your audience may say a little too much information, but I think it's pertinent to what you just said. You know, I am 2 years past menopause and I just restarted my period in the last couple of months. And I wrote to Susan Walters because she is a grid worker who is an amazing teacher. Many people know of her. And I said, Susan, what's happening to me? And she said, as we go through this process, we open up our pineal, we open up our pituitary. You know, the hormones, the DMT, start to reactivate. There is no reason that your pineal should have stopped working at around 18 years old and then you start dying. We're meant to live as humans, hundreds of years, and if you look into ancient texts, you'll see that. So when you can start to bring that sovereignty back into alignment with your body reactivates itself. It's amazing.
Now, how do you do that as far as reactivating the pineal gland?
Well, I like to use things like David Wilcock mentioned. Skate liver oil is one of the things. Obviously, people can meditate. We need to decalcify it, and it's calcified with the fluoride in the water. That's one of the primary ways that they've calcified our pineal. That's why I was born in 1959. That's why when we were kids, we had to go in and get those fluoride treatments at the dentist, and they put fluoride in the water because it calcifies our pineal. So we want to eat foods that decalcify it. And if you look on the internet and just, you know, Google decalcified pineal gland, there's all sorts of foods you can eat. But skate liver oil, blue ice skate liver oil, is one of the best tonics that you can take that'll just kind of break it up. In fact, when I was using, I only used one bottle of this stuff, and I literally felt my pineal crack. I heard it crack in my head. And they said that's a sign of the decalcification breaking up. So that's one of the ways you can do it. And then your pituitary works very closely with your pineal. So your pituitary governs all those great hormones that you had when you went through puberty. And what is puberty? But it's sort of, you know, a growth period, right, where you're developing. Well, if you can reactivate your pituitary gland, you're going to start growing again, not dying.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know the thymus gland actually secretes a death hormone, and it starts shrinking at a certain age. And I guess past puberty or whatever, it starts getting smaller and smaller. And a lot of people just say thump it, you know, keep thumping it, pay attention to it, meditate on it. There's a lot of different things, but it also seems to play an active role in the regeneration process.
Well, there's some other things you can do. Sun gazing is another fabulous tool. You know, we've been taught that the sun is really bad for us. I go out about 30 minutes every single day, and I sunbathe nude with no sunscreen. Sunscreen not only blocks the sun's codes, because the codes come in through your skin, which also activate your pineal and pituitary and other glands. So you do absorb it through your skin. And so they want us to use sunscreen because that blocks all of that out. So they've scared us to death with, oh, my gosh, you're going to get cancer. No, actually, cancer, and I'll just go off on another tangent for a moment. Cancer is really your body's way of sort of isolating some bad cells So when we go chemotherapying and we start cutting out tumors, we're basically breaking open the encapsulation of that cancer. And the cancer starts spreading all over your body, and then they blame it on, well, you had cancer and there was nothing we could do. If they had left it alone, your body probably would have left it encapsulated. And if you did some healing techniques with food and other things, you might have gotten rid of the cancer all on its own. So the sun will help you revitalize all of your organs. Now, if you take it one step further and you start sun gazing, and people can Google up what sun gazing is, you want to start with staring at the sun for an hour in the morning between sunrise and an hour, and then an hour before sunset. And you want to take it in very small increments, 10 seconds, then 20 seconds the second day, then 30 seconds, so that your eyes can adjust. You are literally bringing all those codes in through your eyes into your body. You will start to de-age. You will correct your vision. Amazing things happen, but the most amazing thing is there are people that believe that they have been able to become breatharians. That is, they do not need food. They can choose to eat food, but they do not need food because they're getting all the pranic energy from the sun itself. So these are some of the things I'm experimenting with, and I always try to work on my own body first before I advise anyone to do something, because I want to see how it works with me before I tell somebody else, hey, this might work for you.
Great. Yeah, I work with a German physicist who had to kind of quit because he was healing every cancer you can imagine, and he had to kind of back off because all the doctors were coming after him, unfortunately. And, you know, he was saying the same thing, you know, tumor's your friend, you know, it's encapsulating, it's grabbing all the cancer cells and the toxins and poisons out of your body. He said, you don't cut it out, you know, you shrink it, you find out why it's there, you know, what it's grabbing, and get rid of whatever it's having to grab. And then the tumor just goes away. And I've watched tumors shrink, and I've watched also monks shrink tumors just with their own consciousness and focusing on it.
Well, exactly. And the other thing is cannabis oil. I mean, we've been hearing a lot about that. I mean, cannabis, now we know why it's been suppressed, right? And it's not because people get a little stoned. It's because it's an amazing herb on our planet. It's a gift from God. It will cure you of so many things. And, I mean, there are people, you know, with brain tumors that are watching their brain tumors shrink. There's a gal on YouTube, I can't remember her name right now, but she's in her 20s, and she was diagnosed by doctors as having, like, a stage 4 brain tumor. There was no hope for her. They wouldn't even chemo her. They sent her home to die, and she started using cannabis oil, and it has shrunk, like, 2/3 in the last 6 months. And the doctors can't understand it. So, yeah, no. You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Well, there's different types of cannabis oil, and I know some people are just getting hemp oil, you know, a good grade hemp oil from the store, natural hemp oil, and that helps, but it's not what you're talking about. And, you know, you're talking about a whole different type of oil.
Yeah, there's a guy on the internet, and he might call it hemp oil versus cannabis oil, but he's actually distilling it. He's making it from scratch, and it's very, very, very potent. So I believe, and, you know, I'm blessed with never having had cancer, so I've not tried this. Again, I'm just following what other people write about it and the amazing success they're having. But when you get the really concentrated homemade stuff, it really works very, very well on the body. And I guess the last thing I'd like to say about the body is our body is our friend. You know, I'm an empath. I'm claircognizant. You know, I look at these gifts coming in, and they're my friend, right? They're to tell me about my environment. Well, that's what your body is. So when there's something going awry in your body, it's really your signal system to say, hey, pay attention. What did you just eat in the last few days? Or have you not been getting enough sleep? Or have you been hanging out with people that have been draining your energy? And we have, you know, been taught in this society to view our bodies as this sort of alien vehicle that we have no control over, and it controls us, and it's quite the opposite. And that's why, James, as you said earlier, you can literally heal yourself with your mind. I mean, Louise Hay is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've had that happen here. We've had people do focus walks, you know, here, and they walk around this beautiful vortex of this field of dreams we have, which is full of light beings and orbs and things like that. And they just say, you know, I've always been whole and healthy, or they just focus on that and they walk the field and, you know, they start a daily practice on that and they walk right out of their diseases. We've had tumors disappear here, broken wrists mend overnight. Just crazy things happen here on a regular basis, but it's really up to the individual. You know, if people come up here with a bad attitude and a lot of victim or doubt or whatever, you know, they don't really get the same result. But we've had people come up here that, I mean, one guy checked himself out of the hospital and you know, a bleeding ulcer and a tumor and everything. And they, against all the wishes of the doctors and everything else, and he just called a taxi and walked right out of there and jumped in the taxi and came here and asked us if we had a tent. And he told us his story, and we said, well, sure, you know, I guess. And gave him a tent, and he spent 2 nights here, and he went back, and the doctors couldn't believe it. Everything was gone.
Well, you know, we can all do that right in our own homes. That great exactly. I am, yeah. You know, that I am healthy and whole. I am youthful and vibrant. When you walk around in a circle, and I, you know, I tend to have a lot of feminine energy, so I tend to walk from the right toward the left. If you walk from the left toward the right, it's sort of masculine energy putting out in the world. If you want to bring it into you, walk from the right to the left. And so I'm bringing in this energy of healing and really commanding my space, commanding my vehicle. We can all do that, but yes, we have to believe that we can do that. We have to override the programming that says, oh, this isn't going to work. It does work.
No, definitely. And, you know, we are being challenged, too, with everything like you're saying. You know, we've got the fluoride, the aspartame, the chemtrails, the 800 carcinogens in our water, in city water. You name it. I mean, you know, the GMO foods, everything. I mean, we are going to have to step up to the plate. And what I found out is when you do make that choice, you will automatically change a lot of your eating habits and you know, your lifestyle will go through a total change. Once you really choose to heal yourself, you'll make the other changes as well.
Well, and, you know, theoretically, I'm in Los Angeles. I should be dead. I mean, between the lousy water, right, and the radiation coming from Fukushima, which is landing, even if I want to eat organic food, the foods are all grown north of me and brought down. So even if I buy good food at the farmer's market, it's contaminated. I feel the only thing that will really help us get through this is raising our vibration, because everything is a frequency. As you know, you've seen the experiments were with water, where if you hold a water with love, emanating the love vibration, the molecules look like perfect little beautiful snowflakes, and yet if you hold that same water with hate, you see a whole kind of gnarly looking snowflake. And so you can vibrate out of the frequency of all of this stuff. You know, when I first started waking up, James, 3.5 years ago, I got attacked by entities all the time. And they were like moths to the flame. And now I just don't have hardly anything happening to me. Why? Because I vibrated out of their frequency. They can't reach me anymore. And by the way, that's not a challenge for any of you that are trying out there, you entities, but it's not a challenge. But the point is, that's what we can do with everything. We can do that with radiation. We can do that with cancer. We can do that with everything. And that's really, I think, the true secret.
You know, I agree. There's, I know when I first awoke, you know, I had the near-death experience and I was blown wide open after the drowning, and I could see the entities and I could see all the, and I could feel what people thought and said and felt all at the same time. I got all three inputs. It was crazy for a while, and things kept morphing from physicality to energy, and it took me quite a while to get grounded again with that, but I had a crash course in dealing with these unseen negative influences, and luckily I had some great teachers that taught me how to deal with this. But, you know, you are challenged, and especially, you know, there's an old Vedic saying, you know, the closer you get to nirvana, the more the demons rear their ugly heads. So, you know, people shouldn't beat themselves up because they are getting beat up by these energies. It just means that you're awakening and you're healing and you're being challenged. But, you know, welcome the challenge and welcome your own God self to come in and take care of it.
Well, and you make a good point, James. And I think it's really important to understand that we all, as light workers, are playing different roles on the football team, right? So we've got the tackle and we've got the quarterback. And, you know, the quarterback may never have to really get dirty, you know, isn't going to get all beat up because he's protected by, you know, all these other positions. Well, some of us, unfortunately, we are here actually to interface with those energies, those darker energies, if you want to call it that, and to really transmute them within ourselves and for the collective. Other light workers may have a wholly different role. And so I've heard a lot in the light worker community say, well, you know, either that's in your imagination or those are your shadow parts that you haven't integrated, you know, in other words, discounting that that could happen to someone. And I think we just have to recognize that, yeah, there are plenty of people out there that have had these experiences, and to validate them, even though you may not have, maybe your role is something else.
Yeah. Well, I see that a lot with people that are sensitive, that have, you know, the skills, you know, to sense unseen negative influences and things of that nature, is that they are kind of set aside and belittled and pushed down, and people will automatically condemn what they can't experience, you know, because they don't want to look bad, right? You know, so you have to go, oh no, well, that's just your imagination, and I'm holier than thou, so have a nice day. You know, it's like you hear that stuff going on and you just go, well, you don't have a clue. And usually they're setting themselves up for a really big experience, because you know, eventually they're going to have to open up to that reality as well in their own awakening and healing process.
Well, and you started by introducing me as having spent 25 years in corporate America. And there is actually something I wanted to say about that, because until I woke up, you know, I was your real corporate girl. I had some experiences when I was a kid that I sort of forgot about. When I was 4 years old, I remember lying on the grass in Trenton, New Jersey, and looking up at the clouds and saying to myself, I create my own reality. And I was so excited, I went in and told my mom, you know, Mommy, I create my own reality. And, of course, she told me to go listen to my Puff the Magic Dragon record, which I think is perfect, actually, but because I did believe in magic. And then when I was 8 years old, you know, all my friends wanted to grow up and be nurses and teachers and those very feminine roles. And I knew I was growing up to change the world. And I remember telling my mom, I'm growing up to change the world. And she said, oh, honey, just exactly how are you going to do that? You know, I just knew. So, but I didn't have a lot of profound experiences, and I didn't have near-death experiences like you did, James. But as I have grown, one of the things I've noticed is that more and more people are waking up like I did, sort of later in life and having the more profound experiences. And I have talked to people in corporate America. They are hungering for this stuff. I stayed away from that element of my life for the last 3 years because I was doing searches on Wall Street, and as we all know what the banksters are doing, I started to see what they were up to, and I was so discouraged that I had spent my 25-year career in this field that was not helping humanity. But under the layers of the top echelon, there are so many people that feel so trapped. They feel exhausted. They know this is not giving them any meaning in life. And so there is a part of me right now that is looking to go back into that world and to really reach out to those individuals, because they just have no one they can talk to. And I've talked to, for example, people at CFO level, senior VP level that said, Lynn, until you called me on a search and let your hair down and let me know what you were doing, I didn't have anyone I could talk to about this. I can't talk about this at work. They won't let me talk about this at work. So everybody's sort of hiding. And I think these energies are going to bring everybody out of the closet as well. I think it's going to be wonderful.
I do too. You know, we're seeing things here. I mean, I'm seeing people that we never thought would ever turn around recently and really asking, you know, sincere questions. And, you know, same thing with this UFO thing. It's like, come on, like, what's this disclosure thing all about? I mean, everybody already knows UFOs exist. You know, all the polls tell you they exist. You know, they've been the Time CNN poll back in the 80s, you know, 86% of the people believe UFOs exist and there's a government cover up. So to me, it's like, it's failed. You know, it's like the cover up failed. And if you're talking about the high 80s and 90% polls out there, then it is time to start talking to your friends and family and tell them about, hey, you know, I did see a ship a while back, or I did see something as a kid, or start sharing your stories. And all of a sudden they'll go, you know what? I did too, you know, and it just gets amazing when people, just one person opens up and shares something, and all of a sudden you'll be in a room with eight people and you know, maybe six of them Well, you know, I did. I had an experience too, and you might have maybe one or two just kind of hide back in the shadows that don't want to expose themselves or talk about it. But, you know, it's kind of interesting now because it is much more socially acceptable to talk about any kind of paranormal experiences or mystical experiences or UFO sightings or contacts or things of that nature.
Well, and it's so funny you mention that because this just happened to me about 2 weeks ago at a small dinner party. And there were four of us there at this dinner party. And at one point, the host asked me, this woman asked me about some of my spiritual, what have you been doing, Lynn, in your spiritual world? And I and how did you wake up exactly? And I said, well, I've told you this before, which that was interesting because, you know, years ago, people would forget. I'd see people fall asleep in front of me and when I start to talk about this stuff. So they were getting blocked from it. But now a part of their soul is waking up enough that really is curious. So I start telling my story at the dinner table. All of a sudden, the husband looks at his wife. They've been married 25 years. Oh, well, I saw a UFO on Redondo Beach in California when I was a kid. And she looked at him and said, you did? And he said, oh, yeah, a whole bunch of us did. And she said, why didn't you tell me? And he said, well, I don't know. It happened a long time ago. But, yeah, this UFO came over the beach, and then this Air Force jet came after it. And at that point, the grandfather, the father to the gal that hosted this dinner party, said, well, you know, my dad saw a UFO when I was a kid. And she turned to her dad, and she said, Dad, how come you never told me? And he said, well, I don't know. Who was I going to tell? Nobody believes this stuff. So, you know, just my one opening in that evening, two people at the table out of four, besides myself, had already had encounters. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, it is. It's funny because people get up. You know, a good thing happened. It's really funny with my daughter. I actually went out to dinner with my daughter, and she had this new boyfriend, you know, and everything. And she goes, okay, Dad, she goes, no weird stuff. No talking about UFOs, no talking about paranormal stuff or anything else. You know? And I said, all right. I said, I'll just be normal, you know, like this. I'll be your normal dad, you know? And so we go out to dinner and, we were talking and, he goes, and the guy looks at me, he goes, I've seen you before. Wait a second. He goes, you were on the History Channel, weren't you? Or you know, I can't. And it was really funny. I said, yeah, I was. And he goes, you're that guy, you know, and he got all excited. You know, he was totally into all of it and everything. And she's just going, oh, my God, you know. So it's like, it was really funny because, you know, even she was trying to hide it. And I said, you know, this is huge. You know, this is big. It's, you can't, don't try to hide this stuff, you know. You know, it's like I took her to a conference where I was speaking to 1,000 people. And she was just blown away, and she said, "My God, I had no idea." You know, her mother said, "You know, you're a nutcase," and you know, and this and this and this and this, you know. But I had no idea, you know, that you were well respected and things of that nature. So it's kind of interesting how we get into these little boxes and we don't open up or you know, speak about anything that's not socially acceptable. Even with family.
Well, you know, many of us as starseed types, we've come from other lifetimes where we were literally persecuted for sharing this. And there is that deep core belief that, and up until recently, we were persecuted here. I mean, I've lost friends in the last couple of years that think I'm a total nutcase. So even though I have this illustrious, you know, corporate career and I made a lot of money and I have all the credentials, the idea that I was starting to talk about ETs and these metaphysical experiences, they just thought I was a nutcase. Well, things are changing now. The energies that have come through just in the last 6 months are changing. And I think people are, there's, again, a deep soul hunger. They know that this world is not what they think it is. They know there's something off. They can't put their finger on it. And so when you start to open up these conversations, I'm finding more and more people are willing to at least listen and to not persecute as much as they might have 2 years ago even.
All right, we're back. It looks like we got dropped as usual. Both of us got dropped. So we must have been on some good subjects there. But we're coming up to the end of the hour anyway. But what's the best way for people to contact you if they want to get a hold of your information and any assistance in their own awakening and healing process?
I'll give you my email so they can reach me at lwilliams2002@verizon.net. Or they can find me on Facebook, and it's lynn.williams.129.
And although we're up at the end of the hour here, and we apologize for the difficulty of the, but it happens every time we have a great guest on and we start talking about any kind of major awakening and healing or archons or anything else. It's amazing how the network just drops. So, but anyway, I was wondering if you had any closing words you wanted to bring on or for the audience and to help them get through these shifts and changes.
Well, I would say trust yourself. Trust your own powers from within. You've been sold a lot of lies that the power is outside of you. It isn't. The fact of the matter is you don't even need guides and angels. You know, learn how to get in touch with your higher self. Meditate and visualize meeting your higher self. And really just, you know, trust that you have everything you need within you to heal you. And I know that's going to be a big leap for people that are just awakening. But for those that are on the path, that is the answer.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is. And you know, the bottom line is that we have an old saying, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened, you know. So even though you may be getting some inner guidance, it may not be from the levels that you think it's coming from. So it is very important to learn how to heal unseen negative influences and, you know, maintain safeguards for pure guidance and pure information. And those are the things that I'm sure you teach and we teach as well here. But, you know, it's very important to realize that there are unseen influences out there that will guide you in ways that are not in your highest and best good. And you usually know them by the manifestations. You know, if your life's going to hell, then you probably have a guide from hell. You know, so.
Well, and there's all kinds of tools if people want to shield themselves. Lisa Renee has a great 12th dimensional shield that you can find on YouTube. I just put a geometric upside down and upside right pyramid that meets in the middle. And I fill that with golden white light and then put a circle around that with golden white light. There's so many things you can use if you feel you need some little extra protection. So just Google protection for entities and it'll come up for people.
Great. Well, we're at the end of the hour, so unfortunately we did get cut off a little bit, but we'll have to close out. But again, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and we'll have to do it again real soon.
Thank you, James. You too. Take care.
All right. Take care. Well, we're signing off, folks. This is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio. Watch the skies. A lot of activity happening there, and watch your own attitudes and emotions and what you're projecting out to others, because these energies are coming in, are bringing everything up. And we have to become the observer and take responsibility for our attitudes and emotions and our actions, which are creating reactions out there, and learn to own our stuff. And as these eighth dimensional beings have said, you know, are you creating heaven on earth? And if you're not, you might need to be going somewhere else, because the earth is moving into that higher frequency and she is ascending. And that's a good plan for discernment. You know, as far as your interactions with others, you know, are we creating heaven on earth? Or are we creating more chaos and more destruction and more toxins and more things of that nature? So it's very simple. You know, be kind to each other, be kind to the planet, and be kind to yourself as well during the process. Anyways, James Gillen signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.